guys. Trapper here.
And Emily.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Traps Lodge. If you like it, leave us a review.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Traps Lodge. Today, we have a very special guest, my brother-in-law, who has returned from Alaska after a two-week trip up there with Trapper and another guy named Eric who went up to shoot a moose. So we are going to pick his brain. Everybody, welcome Josh Mayfield.
How's it going, everybody?
Thank you for being on.
Yeah, you bet.
And he's got his little sidekick with him there, little Hondo. All right, so we're going to wait till Trapper's back to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of the hunting because I'm sure you have plenty of stories about that.
Oh, yeah.
But we want to make sure to give Trapper the chance to add his flair to it. So I'm going to ask you a little bit more about the experience from your side of the story. So tell us very briefly your background in hunting, where you've hunted, kind of set the scene for us.
Sure. So basically I've hunted nearly my whole life only in Texas. Started off as a rifle hunter and then got into archery using compound bows, and that wasn't challenging enough. So then I got into traditional archery thanks to my dad. My dad ran a professional hunting outfit up in Abilene, close to Abilene, doing archery only. And I've hunted with dogs, just kind of anything that you can hunt in Texas that is from Texas is what I've hunted and mostly killed. So nothing out of state. It's always been a dream of mine to hunt out of state, and finally got to do that.
Yeah, so Alaska was your first out of state hunt.
Alaska was a trip that I never thought I'd ever get to go on in my life.
I bet.
The biggest dream I've ever had as far as hunting goes, and the first out of state hunt. So yeah.
How awesome. Okay, so what was your expectation going into it? What did you expect it to be like? So Trapper and I talked the last two episodes a little bit about Alaska, and he gives people advice and tells them what to prep for. So what did you think it was going to be like going into it?
Well, I should have listened to your podcast before I left instead of on the way home in the airport. Then my expectations would have been a little more clear. But you know, I expected just like the most beautiful views. You know, I'd read articles and seen some hunting shows about people hunting caribou or reindeer in the area that we were at. But, you know, I expected just herds of animals just migrating, right? And it's nothing like that. I mean, it is the most barren country you've ever seen as far as the tundra goes. And everything that you see on TV as far as mountains and rivers and lakes, that wasn't where we were hunting. I mean, I did finally get to see that. Thank you, sir. I did finally get to see that, but not while I was hunting. So,
okay.
Yeah,
so
I expected just
beautiful.
Beautiful, majestic. It is beautiful. The tundra is beautiful in its own way.
Okay. So you fly from San Antonio to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle to Anchorage. You get in at like midnight to Anchorage, right? Y'all go out the next day, do a little fishing. Was that fun?
Yeah, so we got in the car, had about an hour and a half trip to Soldotna, and hooked up with Angler's Lodge down there. They run a really professional outfit, just got in the boat, took off, and funny part about that is I see four guys standing on the riverbank fly fishing, right? And they're just like smacking the water with their rods. I'm like, those guys have no idea what they're doing. Because I'm an expert fly fisherman that just learned how to fly fish a few months ago. And I'm like, they don't know what they're doing. So our guide gets us off on the riverbank and instructs us to do the same thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is not what I expected. But there's a technique called flossing. And so we were catching some red salmon doing that. And
okay. It
was just beautiful. I mean, there's bald eagles just everywhere flying around. I mean, things you just don't see here. So
that's awesome. Yeah. All right. So it sounds like it started off pretty well, fishing, all that. And then the weather kind of took a turn for the worse. And last thing the listeners and our followers on social media saw of you was getting in a boat with a life vest on, going to leaving Teller, I think.
Yeah.
We don't know where you were going. No, going out to the tundra.
Yeah, so 2 days of fishing. Then we flew out from Anchorage to Nome, took a 75-mile road, dirt road, full of potholes, cars just scattered all over the side of the road that have crashed and just they're not worth fixing. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I going? And Jimmy Feegis, the head outfitter, calls Trapper and he's like, hey, man, I've got a hunter already out on the tundra, but we've got 3 6-wheelers. And do you have a guy that would be willing to go out? It's like an easy 4-hour trip. I'm like, well, man, I can ride, you know, that'll be fun. And so get off the plane, hurry out to Teller, which is like a nowhere place. And he's like, you need to put on all your warm clothes and your rain boots, and we're leaving like right now. And I was like, oh, wasn't prepared for that. Like, was definitely expecting a last shower meal, something, you know? And yeah, so I get on this little John boat across the bay and hop on some six wheelers, and dense fog, rain, cold. 9.5 hours later, which is just after midnight, we find camp.
Oh my god!
And by find camp, I mean we were lost a few times. So it was pretty wild.
I heard the weather, you know, Chopper warns everyone that the weather can be bad in Alaska.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. It sounds like y'all experienced the worst of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the positive side about taking an ATV out there versus flying in like everybody else did was I actually got a good understanding of where I was as far as just how wet and treacherous and brutal the tundra can be. And I saw every part of it, and
yeah,
none of it's easy. I can say that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you definitely got to see, yeah, driving, you see what you're passing up, you know, on the way. So, yeah. You know, your surroundings. Yeah. And we know Trapper was stuck at, I guess, in Council for a little while, trying to fly out of Nome to get to you,
right,
for a couple days. But I will say, of the three, you were probably the best one for the ATV trip.
Yeah.
You're definitely the youngest.
Yeah, I think that's why I got to go.
All right. So you're out there on the tundra for a couple days without Trapper.
Mm-hmm.
What did y'all do? What's the first kind of...
So all the equipment that we took in on the ATVs was extra tents, food, cots. And basically I was just, at that point, kind of turned into a helper. And we were just setting up camp because there was another hunter and another guide out there, but they had just one tent, and really none of the camp supplies were out there. So we had hauled in a bunch of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many people total at the camp during this time?
That would have been me, Kate, Jimmy, Heath, and Travis. And Heath and Travis were the other hunters that were there.
Okay.
So there was five total. No, it's
big section. And when you are at your camp, do you see anyone else?
No.
This is an area that Jimmy has specifically in this unit.
Mm-hmm. So I think we saw the whole time that we were out there, we saw one other aircraft, and I don't know who they were. They just kind of flew around and left, and you could hear a couple like commercial jets flying, you know, but you never actually saw them. So
very cool. Definitely remote.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you were expecting like the grandeur, the lakes, the mountains, the beautiful. So what does the tundra look like now that you've seen it?
The tundra is the moon with water, and then part of it is Mars with grass. And I mean, it's just, you know, the hills or the mountains, they're not just like a normal hill or mountain. I mean, they're miles wide. And so you're either just always walking up or you're always walking down. And there's some valleys and some alders and stuff like that. And when you're up on these mountains, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, the brush down there, it's like a foot tall, and you get down there and it's 12 feet tall and you can't see anything. So yeah, it's...
So your perspective of everything and...
Yeah. Nothing about the tundra wants you to be there.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good way to put it from what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
All right. So Trapper eventually gets out there. Y'all do the hunt, which we're going to save that for another episode, just because, like I said, we do want Trapper to give his kind of feedback and y'all be able to bounce off of each other. But tell me what is the most memorable thing about Alaska for you? And then also, like a best and a worst.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, the weather was, start with the worst. The weather was definitely the worst because, you know, when I was preparing, going off of, you know, Trapper said, yeah, the weather can turn at any minute. But when I was here, it was like t-shirt weather. The sun was out almost every day. It rained a little bit. So I kind of prepared for that. I saw the sunshine one day, and it was the day that I actually left. So the worst was just being wet all the time. And, you know, my shoes stayed wet. Like, my gear just wouldn't dry out because it was just wet all the time.
That's what I was going to ask. How do you dry out
anything? So wind and sunshine, but when it's windy and it's still raining and there's no sun, you just stay wet.
Oh.
So that was probably the worst part about it was not really having an extra set of rain gear, which, you know, my ride in, I got soaked and pretty much just stayed that way. So that was the worst part. The best part was literally, you know, you're just so remote. Like, there's places where you go and no one's ever been there before. Like, you're like the first human probably, or at least you feel like that's ever been out there.
Right.
You know, I got to experience a moose hunt, and gosh, you know, like Yeah. I didn't pull the trigger, but I was there, you know.
Well, and you spotted it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and so we'll get a little bit into this on the Moose. I know it was only probably like, what, a couple miles from camp?
Yeah, so when I tracked our actual steps, it was 5 miles out, 5 miles back.
Okay.
So, but on the GPS, like straight line.
And you're walking?
We walked everywhere, which is an accomplishment in itself, especially for Eric, which was impressive.
Yeah. So for you guys that don't know, Eric is getting his hip replaced probably like this week.
Tomorrow, I think.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So best of luck, Eric. But he got a heck of a moose before. Yeah. So that was perfect. So he got his moose in the first day or two he was out there, right?
Opening day of the season. Yep.
How awesome. And you spotted it. Mm-hmm. So set the scene for us, right? Y'all are walking. And are you getting to a spot and then looking? Or how did you spot it? Kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, so the moose tend to hang out in these valleys. And, you know, they flew in the day before. We'd kind of glass some areas from camp and said, okay, well, there's some cow moose over there. So where there's cows, there's going to be bulls. And so we kind of looked at the terrain and said, okay, we could probably walk over there. And we're going to go just check everything out. So have to cross the river, which is about 3 feet deep, and it runs really fast. So we put on some waders, cross the river, and just start hiking. And then we sit and we watch, and then we hike and we sit and we watch. And not to get too deep into the hunt, but we're looking at some bulls. We're like, okay, those are younger bulls. They're a little bit small. And we're sitting there watching one. And we said, okay, we need to move up a little bit. All we do is stand up, and then you could see more bulls, right? And you're like, he was right there the whole time. We've been sitting here for 30 minutes. There's the big guy, you know? So
what went through your mind when you spotted him? Were you just...
Jeez, that's a big animal.
Yeah. That's awesome. So it sounds like it took... It sounds like when Trapper was going up there, right? I told him, I said, well, what do you do during the day? You know, like obviously you're glassing and you're looking and stuff. But it sounds like just getting anywhere, like getting in the position to hunt takes the day almost, or a good portion of it.
Yeah, it's just the logistics of getting around. If you don't have an ATV... walking, you know, like here in Texas, you could probably walk 20 or 30 miles a day if you're in shape. If you can walk 10 miles a day, it's going to take you all day there, just because you're trudging through mud, water, the ups and downs, and it's the most god-awful. Literally, the terrain just beats you up. It's that hard.
Wow. Okay, so you spot the moose about 400 yard shot or so, or
I think
that...
Yeah, I think he shot about 450.
Okay, so he shoots. What is his, like, what does he do right afterwards? What's the scene like?
The scene is like, okay, that was fun. And now we've got to walk down this huge valley, which we've already, you know, kind of tired of walking. And we get there, and it was funny just to hear his response was, you know, with some flair to it. He was like, God, that's a big animal, you know? And we know that, okay, now we just got to pull out the knives and get to work, but they're bigger than, you know, any like kind of Brangus bull or anything that you've ever seen. And you've got to sit there and whittle on them. And it's just a big task ahead. So
luckily there's three of you, and luckily Eric is a taxidermist. So I'm sure he was.
Yeah, he's good with a knife. but we could have used a tractor and a winch and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Some power equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Okay. So that, we'll get more into that, but that was kind of the overview of the moose hunt. So Eric flies out and goes home, and then you're there with Trapper and Cade and the rest of the guys. And your caribou hunt was not so easy.
No.
And not 5 miles from camp.
No, it wasn't. so when all the moose hunters finally left camp, and we got over the mechanical issues of the ATVs, which have just been beat up just because that's the way the terrain is, we, four of us, set out and kind of had a game plan, and we knew that we were going to go too far to make it back to camp. And we knew that we didn't have enough fuel in camp because the plane hadn't been able to fly, that we probably weren't going to make it back to camp unless we can find a landing zone for the airplane. So we took a tent and all the fuel we had and some food for like 2 or 3 days. We got out there far enough, and we just hadn't seen anything. At this point, we're like 20 miles from camp, and we're like, where are all the caribou? And then things start happening. Six-wheeler won't start. The pull start cable breaks. We can't. The trailer falls off, crushes most of our food, and all of our freeze-dried meals, like, pop. you know, because they got holes in them now, so you can't fill them up with water. And so we're like, oh man, now we're like out here, we don't have any fuel, we're running out of propane to cook with, we don't have any way to prepare our meals, so we've now got like crunchy ramen noodles basically. And so we make camp by a river, get some fresh water. Then the next day we get 50 yards and the hub went out on the good six wheeler. So now Trapper and I are riding on five wheels instead of six, and I'm standing on the side so we don't flip over.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So what's the mood like? I mean, are the guys taking it pretty well, or is it?
So yeah. So Zane and Cade, they're just great spirited all the time. Trapper and I are just on a mission, right? We've been sitting in camp a long time, waiting on weather, and we're finally out here.
Well, yeah, because you had to go home. This is like, you had like a day or two when you finally started hunting, right? To get your caribou.
Yeah, two full days of hunting left.
Yeah, because which is not a lot
out
there, it sounds like. And you hadn't really seen a whole lot, Trapper was saying. And I know we all were here going, man, I hope he gets it. I hope he gets it.
Yeah, so, you know, the mood was kind of like, okay, this is a really cool experience, but we'd go across sheds or find sheds or deadheads out there, and we're like, let's go pick those up so we can take some antlers home, you know? And so we're like, look like the Clampets just got all these antlers riding on the back of these broken down six wheelers.
And that's awesome.
We're like, I mean, we may not even see caribou. And, you know, I spot a deadhead on the side of the hill, and I'm like, that looks like a big one. Let's go pick it up. And so we head over there. And I'm walking up the hill and the wind's blowing really hard, and Trapper pulls out his glasses and he's like, Josh. And I can't hear him because the wind's blowing so hard. So he just waited till I got back, and that's when he spotted a group of bulls. And this was on the last day to hunt. So the chase was on from there.
Yeah. So, and you had to chase them.
We had to chase them. So fun fact about caribou is they're extremely elusive, and they travel, their walking pace is 8 miles an hour.
Wow.
So, and I think that probably a lot of the locals out there have hunted a lot on snow machines and six wheelers and stuff. So, you know, they hear anything and they just take off, and you could spot them 2 miles away and think you're going to cut them off. And then by the time you get there, they're 4 miles ahead of you. So they're just extremely hard to catch up with.
So what all did you guys have to do to kind of, you know, like, did you?
Run.
I heard you saw Trapper run.
Yeah. Trapper can move when there's something to kill. He can move. I was like, okay, I can't keep up with this guy, and I'm in shape, you know? So,
I've seen him run running. Once. When he needs to get out of the way of an animal or when he's going to an animal, he can move.
Yeah. So we did. We had to run, and there was four of us. And we kind of split up because we lost them, you know? We're like, where did they go? Are they over this valley? Did they already pass us up when we couldn't see them? And then finally caught a little glimpse of them, and we had some cover where there was a hill in our way, and so we took off. I think the first time that we really got a good look at them, they were 1,500 yards away through the scope and or the range finder, 1,500 yards. And in order for us to close, you know, we were like, I really needed to shoot at about 400 yards or 500 or less would be really nice, since I've never really had to shoot at distance. And so, you know, Trapper's like, we got to cut this distance way down. And as soon as we got some cover, we just took off running. So in order for us to close 1,000 yards of shooting distance, we probably had to travel another 3/4 of a mile up and down, which was just exhausting.
You know? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. So you finally get, you know, within range, and what's going through your head?
Everybody's sucking wind. And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, this is what I'm here for. Like, I am not going to let, like, me being physically tired get in the way of what I need to do right now. And so I'm kind of telling the story, but I mean, I pushed ahead and got down low and saw that they were starting to bed down. So I signaled to the other guys. And from there, it was time to set up and make some decisions.
Oh, so the other guys were still back?
Not far. Like literally maybe 10 yards behind me.
Okay.
And I just had this feeling like,
well, it was your caribou.
I need to go up there and see if they're still there. You know, like, are we running for nothing or are they right there? So
they start to bed down. Are you nervous at this point?
No. No, all the nerves are gone just because it was such a, I don't know, like a task oriented thing. Like, it was just, you know, it's nervous. Like, you get nervous if you have to sit around and watch them for a long time, you know, and you're like, then you start getting thoughts in your head. But just the whole, like, I've got to catch up to them or I may never see these animals again. Yeah. And as few as that we actually saw while we were out there. Yeah, no, there was no nerves.
Awesome. So, all right, you take the shot at how many yards?
I think the first shot was at about 405 yards, something like that.
Okay. So you shot multiple times?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're big animals. He was laying down a pretty small shooting window at 400 yards, 405 yards, take a shot. Sounded like a hit, but I think I hit just under him. He stood up, shot again. That one was a definite hit. And then he's starting to move. Shot again. I think that one went maybe a little high, and then shot another time, and that's when he folded. So,
awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I mean, at that point it was just like, I'm going to sling as much lead as it's going to take because yeah.
Very cool. And apparently you got a really good one according to locals, yeah. Right? Like it might be.
Yeah. So somehow word had gotten out and, I don't know if it was just like maybe some of the outfitters had sent some messages to people in town or whatever. But by the time we got in town, people were like, hey, you're the guy that shot that really big caribou, right? And I'm like, yeah, how do you know? So
that's awesome. Very cool. Well, congratulations on that. That's a big feat. So how are you going to top Alaska? Where are you going next?
I'm going back.
Well, you know, I did have Brantley, Josh's oldest son, who's 4, on here testing the mics earlier, and he did say he was going to Alaska. Yeah. So you will have to go back.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, you know, we're already talking about how can we just go back and do some family fishing trips and stuff like that. You know, the boys are a little young to go hunt now, and I think in order to be on the tundra, you have to be pretty tough. And to be tough, you have to be a certain age, I think, at some point. So,
right.
It's not a place for the faint of heart, and it's not a place for somebody that's just kind of wants to try something cool. Like, you have to be pretty committed to it. And I think that when they're older, they'll be able to do it. But yeah. Right now, we've got to wait a little while.
Well, I think there's probably some grown men and women out there that couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it sounds very, the two things that Trapper really tried to impress in everyone's mind before in the prior podcast were, you have to have patience and the weather, right? And it sounds like you experienced both of those to the extreme, because I know when he was texting me from his sat phone and stuff, there was a lot of sitting around waiting for it to stop raining.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know that I could do that in a tent with four. I mean, y'all were in a tent, 4 grown men in a tent, right?
Yeah.
With like 40 mile hour winds, rain, just
yeah. So the day after, because Cade shot a nice one as well. And the day after, we were expecting the airplane to come pick us up, start hauling meat out, and be like, okay, let's go home, you know? And about midnight, 40 mile an hour winds, rain. I mean, rain's coming in sideways. It literally stormed like that for about 26 hours. And our tent started ripping, and we're just stuck, you know? We don't have, like, cots or anything to lay on. We're on top of a hill where we think that the airplane can land, so we're sleeping on rocks. And we're just stuck inside for 26 hours, and it's the weather, you know? And you're just thinking, like, is this going to be 3 days? Is it going to be a month? Like, is it ever going to stop, you know? Are we ever going to get out of here? And
yeah, so that's kind of a very I mean, you kill your caribou. I'm sure you're super pumped, real excited, ready to go home, you know, like, and then you have that happen.
Right.
And did it just kill the vibe?
Not at all.
Okay,
no,
good.
No,
y'all
were
still just.
Yeah, because at that point it was like.
You accomplished it.
Yeah. So.
Very cool. Yeah, I know I talked to Trapper right before we recorded this, and he said to tell you that his hips are still bruised from sleeping on the rocks. So.
Yeah, we all woke up and were like, why are we like old men right now? So sleeping on rocks does that to you.
I would imagine so. All right, so you get off the tundra. Trapper stayed out there. He, for those of you listening, is doing another hunt. He's got a group of 3 guys that are flying in to Nome today. And from what I've heard, the weather is still not looking that great. So hopefully they'll have a little bit of sunshine and they can get out to the tundra. But we'll wrap up here, but I do want you to touch a little bit on your pilot that you met. That was really cool. I heard you, so you had a 12-hour layover in Anchorage?
I had it was either 10 or 12-hour layover in Anchorage. And
yeah, so tell us that story.
So a cool thing about the tundra, if the weather's really bad, your pilot can't go anywhere. And if you have similar interests as your pilot, you get along and you make new friends, right? And so Phil Super great bush pilot. When we finally get out of there, I mean, he even took me hunting one day in the rain. He was like, I can't sit in the tent anymore. Let's just go out. And so we get back to Anchorage. He's like, hey, you want to go get some lunch? I was like, man, I really don't think I should leave the airport, blah, blah, blah. What are you going to do? And he said, well, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to go fly my plane. I was like, oh, I really shouldn't do that. You know, I'll definitely never make it back to the airport. And then he's like, you're going to sit in here for 10 hours. By yourself with a mask on, or you can go see the rest of Alaska. I was like, you know, you got a point. So we went, got some lunch, and got in a Super Cub and flew around for like 4 or 5 hours.
Just all over.
Flew over glaciers. We saw mountain goats, doll sheep, saw a black bear. Landed on the river a few times, got out and walked around, and it was it's probably the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, that part of Alaska.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, he sounds like a really great guy to take you to do that. But, I mean, to just top it off, you know, completely unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
You were just going to sit in an airport with a mask on.
I was
going to
sit in an airport, and I never really would have seen the Alaska that I thought I would see, you know, when my expectations. So on that last day in between flights, you know, it was like, wow, this place really is more than just hills and swamps, you know. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Where was he headed to?
He lives in Anchorage.
Okay.
And so he was just going home, you know. He
took his time to just fly you around.
And just, you know, he loves to fly, and he was like, he's got a really nice airplane, you know, and he's like, it's a beautiful day, I'm gonna go fly. And
he's younger, right? He looked younger.
You know, yeah, somewhere between like mid-20s, early 30s.
How cool to be that at that point, at that age, you know, and doing that for a living.
Yeah. One of the things he told me was, you know, he loves living in Anchorage because with 15 miles away, he can be in Alaska. So that was pretty cool.
That is cool. All right. So we will wrap up here, but leave our listeners with, maybe there's a guy sitting listening to this or a girl that is debating taking that trip, right? And is just thinking, man, can I take off work? Can I do this? Whatever. What would you tell them? I mean, because you just got back from a dream trip.
Yeah. I would say do it, you know, because there's probably going to come a time when you're not going to be able to do it, either, you know, physically or financially or something like that. You know, financially, you know, as you get older, things tend to become easier. But there's always going to be something in your way, but you don't know if you're going to have that tomorrow to do that. So if you can do it and it's something you want to do, just get out and do it.
And you'll enjoy it once you're there.
Yeah.
Hands down.
You'll enjoy it. Yeah. You will enjoy it. So.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And thanks for Trapper throwing this opportunity out to me to go, because it was one of those things I really thought would happen later in life. And
they won't share with me.
Now I get to go. So, or I have been. So it was a dream come true.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, next week we will have a Trapper on. And possibly Josh, if we can make it work somehow, to kind of relive the hunt. Trapper will be back from Alaska on Sunday. And once again, as always, we appreciate y'all listening. And if you like it, leave a review. Let us know what you think. And we will see you next week with Trapper.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to Traps Lodge. Leave us a review. Send us an email. Until next time.